Well, I invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn or scroll to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. So our Advent series, my goal was to do things a little differently. People will often say in December, no matter what church you're in, you know exactly what they're going to be talking about. So I wanted to do things just a little bit differently. As talking about the coming of Christ, I wanted to speak from angles that we might not always be focused on. Our first message was on the phrase, call upon the name of the Lord. We saw that this crucial concept of calling on the name of the Lord, it first originated at the beginning of your Bible, Genesis chapter 4, right after the fall. When things went south in a hurry, people began to realize, I can't figure all this out. The end of Genesis chapter 4, it says, and people first began to call on the name of the Lord. And we trace that phrase all throughout the Old Testament. It has its fulfillment in the gospel. Because Paul says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, putting their faith in Christ. Last week, we looked at the concept of grace. We said that Christ in his coming, he brought grace upon grace. He came with grace and truth. And we saw how grace just permeates the New Testament. It's what the gospel is all about. It's what his advent is all about. Grace. We saw that we can give grace to others through our words. Do not tear others down. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is useful for building up in the moment. And that's how we give grace to others through our words. So we're going to follow that concept this morning and look at forgiveness. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, to bring salvation, and of course, forgiveness of our sins is a key component. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we read this. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So here's the flow. Christ came. He brought salvation. Salvation is through faith in him. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. And so Paul is saying, listen, you have received forgiveness from God. In turn, forgive others. Christians should be known as those people who forgive well, even when it is difficult. So the flow last week, you've received grace, give grace. This morning, you've received forgiveness, offer forgiveness. Do not withhold forgiveness. So let's frame this by stepping back and looking at the big picture. Salvation and forgiveness. Now last week, I don't want to overdo this illustration, but last week I flashed up a picture of some baby shoes. The week prior, we were at my folks' house celebrating my dad's birthday. I noticed these little baby shoes kind of left out, which is kind of unusual. I mean, they looked like they'd been left outside for a while. So I thought, that's interesting. On the way out, I asked my mom, I said, Mom, what are those baby shoes just left out? Like, what are they from? She said, oh, thank you for reminding me. Those are your shoes. These are my very first baby shoes. Colin, at 6 months old, was wearing these, right? And so all of a sudden, what was just a piece of intrigue to us became something that was really, really special to us, to me especially. My point is this. We're about to talk about forgiveness. Just as we did with grace, don't allow this to just be words that you read, that you've heard before. I want you to be amazed afresh at what God has done in Christ. As we look at what salvation is, why Christ came in this forgiveness, because some of you, like me, you grew up hearing this. And sometimes when you grow up hearing Jesus is love and Jesus forgives and all those things, sometimes we lack the ability or we miss the ability to really understand how jolting that is, that God loves us and He cleanses us. He forgives us. He accepts us. He delights in us. So I invite you to look at Acts chapter 10. Last week we looked at Acts chapter 11. This morning we're going to look at Acts chapter 10, and here's the background. I want you to see a narrative style of someone talking about the forgiveness of sins. This is Peter, the Jewish apostle. And he has been sent by the Lord to a Gentile home. Peter, being Peter, fights God on this. I'm a Jew. I'm a good Jew. I won't go in a Gentile's home. I won't eat this bacon. But this is the gospel being proclaimed in a Gentile home. This is amazing. The gospel of Jesus Christ being extended to those who are not God's people, who are not Jews. Listen as Peter begins to talk and convey the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10, will begin in verse 39. Peter speaking, "And we are witnesses of all that he, Jesus, did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem." He's a Jew, so he's rooting this in the fact that, hey, this started in Jerusalem. "They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us he had chosen, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." He said, hey, we've seen him. "And he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he, Jesus, is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead." There is your mandate, preaching the gospel, preaching Jesus Christ, Savior, but also judge. Verse 43. "To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." The Old Testament is about Christ who is coming, and it testifies that when he comes, whoever believes in him will receive the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to keep reading in verse 44. "While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles." There is this amazement at what God is doing. God is forgiving people, and not only from among the Jews, but the Samaritans, and now the Gentiles. And the Jews who were with Peter were looking around, and they were amazed. Look at what God is doing. Even the Gentiles. Even the Gentiles. So don't lose being amazed at what God is doing. I invite you to look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We want to take this now and shift it from a narrative into what we call theology, right? Paul is going to be talking about what this forgiveness looks like. Again, I don't want you to lose your amazement at what God has done in the gospel of Christ, why Christ came to begin with. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, uncircumcision. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. How? By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, he set it aside, nailing it to the cross. Everything that we stood guilty of, nailed to the cross. All of it, not in part, but the whole, nailed to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him, in Christ. Triumphing over every demonic force that could ever raise an accusation against you. Triumphing over them by the cross. When Christ suffered, he became sin for you, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is the forgiveness that we have received. And never make light of it. Look at how Christ suffered. It's bad enough to just show up and hang out with us, but then to be killed by the very ones whom he created. Forgiveness is messy because God is holy. He is righteous, infinitely pure, unlike us. So now we're going to turn on this hinge. Now God says, give what you've received. What you have received at great cost to him, extend it to others. That's the hard work of a Christian. I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. We're actually going to pick it up in verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You've received grace, give grace. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. God, through his Spirit, lives inside of you. Now watch what he says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. If I allow a root of bitterness to grow in my heart towards someone else, I'm not going to be forgiving him or her anytime soon. And we know the truth that if I take that anger and it's turned inwards and it turns to bitterness or depression, who's the one who's actually losing the most? Right? We hurt our own selves. But look at what Paul says. He says, put it away. All those things which sometimes we just assume are the norm in life. Paul says, by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, put it away. Do not show hospitality to that in your heart. Be kind, verse 32. On the flip side, be kind to one another tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You're in Ephesians, so I want to take you to chapter 1, verse 7. Remember last week, we were talking about Ephesians. We saw that Ephesians, 6 chapters, the first 3 is doctrine. What's true about you, what's true about God, what's true about the gospel. The last 3 chapters are, well, here's how you live it out. Here's what you do in light of that truth, in light of what is true about you and about God. We saw in chapter 2 that God is building up the church. He's building people up in our faith. So the corollary was, don't tear them down by your words. Join God in building others up by showing grace through your words. Now we're going to do the same thing with forgiveness. What's true about us in the first few chapters is that we've been forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him, Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. In Christ, we've been redeemed, we've been bought back, we've been reconciled to God. It was not easy, it was through his blood. Oh, the lengths that God went to redeem us. We've received the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So there you have it. Ephesians chapter 1, we've received forgiveness of our sins, of our trespasses. Now the corollary to that in the practical is because you have been forgiven, forgive others. Here's how you take that gospel truth and you live it out. When we say around this time of year that we want to do good, we want to be good news to those around us, here's a very practical way that we can do that. And it's not as if this isn't all throughout the New Testament. Flip over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, we read this. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, here it comes, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And I love this one. Bearing with one another. Right? Just put up with everyone for a little bit. And if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. We receive forgiveness freely. Therefore, in light of that beautiful gift, Christ followers are in turn to forgive others. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. We talk often about loving well. Here is a specific way to love well, to forgive others, as the Lord has forgiven you. So let's walk through this together. When we talk about forgiving, at this point I have in mind those deep wounds. Not the guy on 270 who cut you off and, you know, torqued you off, you know, for a few minutes there. Not that. I'm talking about those deep wounds. The wounds that perhaps you have left dormant because you lack the courage, the confidence to ever even face them. And I imagine, because we're all human beings living in a fallen world, We all have plenty of those. So how do we actually flesh this out? How do we, with all the hurt that we have received at the hands of others, how do we forgive other people? I want to give you a principle, and it's this. Your disposition determines your position. Your disposition determines your position. And here's what I mean by that. I am in a much better position to forgive someone else when I myself have a disposition towards God and the gospel in which I clearly understand what God has done for me. If I am living my life and I am saturating myself, my mind, my soul with the fact that God has forgiven me through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my friends, it will increasingly over time become more and more difficult to withhold forgiveness. Because no matter what, when people sin against us, when they offend or hurt or wound us, we as well are sinners. When we all sin against God, He is infinitely righteous and pure and just and holy. And so as we grow in Christ, as we walk with Him, my encouragement is this: saturate yourself with the gospel. Preach it to yourself every day that Christ has saved you through your faith in Him. That God, who is so holy, has freely accepted you. When we walk in the Spirit in that way, as we're filled with His Spirit, that's where the strength and the courage and this perspective comes to extend and offer forgiveness, even in our deepest wounds. And please hear me as your shepherd. I know that wounds run deep. I may not know yours in particular, and maybe no one around you knows yours. But I am acknowledging the pain that can run so deep and over time just numb you. And I want to encourage you by the power of the Spirit who lives inside of you to face that and really to free yourself and heal yourself by offering forgiveness. You might know that I've got a background in counseling. So what I'd like to do is share with you something that is very common in the counseling world. If you were to go in to see a counselor, he or she might provide you with something like this, which is practical steps. Like, how do I put one step in front of the other? How do I actually work this out? Because sometimes you are holding on saying, okay, I'm gonna do this, but you know, my heart might be there, but I don't know how to actually work this out. Let me just give you some very practical steps. The first one is this: recognize the offense or the injury. Why do I say that? Because sometimes, particularly for those who are more emotionally wound or bound up, sometimes over time, everything just gets conflated in your mind. Everything becomes so big and you kind of forget exactly what it is that we're dealing with. So for a lot of us, the beginning is to actually sit down and say, if it's not clear, what precisely am I offering forgiveness for? Second, identify the emotions involved and express your hurt and your anger. One thing that I love about the Lord, that I love about the gospel, that I love about God's word is never, not once, does he ever require or ask of us to shove something under the rug. When you read the Old Testament, when you read the prophets, when you read David, they are crying out aloud to God. They are expressing their anger and their pain. And they are asking God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you in this mess? Where are you in this pain that I'm swimming in and drowning in? Be honest with yourself. You might want to place yourself by a wall so you can punch it, maybe. Just get it out. Third, set protective boundaries. Why do I say this? Depending on the nature of the offense towards you, even moving forward, you've got to be careful with how you navigate life. Right? Because you don't want to repeat. Four, cancel the debt. That's the heart of it. Do you remember in Colossians 2, when we talked about the gospel, it says he canceled the debt. That which that person owes you in your mind, perceived or otherwise, in reality, cancel the debt. You're offering forgiveness. You are not holding an expectation over their head. You're forgiving them. And fifth and final, and we'll have a slide with all of these if you want to take a picture or see them all together, but number five is consider the possibility of reconciliation. Why do I say consider the possibility? We know full well that in some circumstances, the person who hurt you so deeply, you're not going to go back and have coffee with them once a week. We know that. So where appropriate, pursue reconciliation. Sometimes you need to part ways and that's the end of it, but you have released him or her. We pull up the next slide. Here's all five of them together. This is not my work. This is someone else's. But you'll see something very similar to this in other places. The reason why I appreciate this is because it gives a very practical, here's how I walk it out. Here's what forgiveness looks like. So my encouragement to you this morning, when you think of how can I be good news to those around me? How can I do good? How can I love well? One way that you and I can love well is to forgive others. Those who have hurt us. To forgive freely and completely. And I promise you, the one who will benefit the most is us. We'll free ourselves up from developing bitterness, resentment, contempt, and all of those things. My encouragement to you, when you think practical, how can I love others? How can I be good news? Not only in the Advent season, but all year round. You've received grace. Give it to others. Give grace to others through your words. Build them up. Don't tear them down. In Christ, as a Christian, you have received forgiveness. All of your sins, not most of them. Not just a certain category, but all of them. And not just from yesterday or yesteryear, but future as well. It's done. In light of that, by God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, offer that to those in your life as well. Would you bow and prepare your hearts for prayer this morning? We've talked a lot this morning about forgiveness. Last week we talked about grace. We're talking about the coming of Messiah, our Savior. I want to be so clear as to what it is we're celebrating. This is not merely a feel-good moment. This is when, after hundreds and hundreds of years, God's saying there's one coming. There's one coming who will solve the problems. There's one coming who will bring peace and joy and freedom. He came. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. Like none who had ever come before him. Unlike every prophet or holy person before him, Jesus Christ stood and said this, "Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest for your soul, because I am able to do just that. Because I am the Son of God." Jesus Christ, the perfect one, would live his life, heal the sick, teach God's word, tell us to love one another. And then he would die a curse on the cross, bearing the sins of the world. The free invitation goes out to everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. My question to you this morning is this. The Advent, the coming of Christ, is it for you just a time for hot chocolate and parties and lights and all this and that? None of that is bad. That's fun. But have you trusted him? Have you come to the end of yourself where you realize, along with our friends back in Genesis 4, we can't solve this ourselves. They began to call on the name of the Lord. Your righteousness, your goodness, your religious works, your efforts, the money you put in the plate, all of those things can't take away your sins. Only Christ can. Where is your trust? Where is your faith? The Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you've not put your faith in Christ, today is the day of your salvation. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you have received so much from him. Don't waste your life. Are you living for him? Are you pursuing him? Are you chasing after him? And does that flow in the most visible and practical of ways how you treat your neighbor? Because as Christ followers, we are to love others well. Let's do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers all of our sins. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who now at this moment intercedes for us at your right hand. Thank you for the Savior that we have, that we worship. Thank you for being mindful of us. Father, I pray, even in this moment with all the things that we have in our mind and our to-do list and our plans and our family fun and all of those things, I pray that you would break through, that you would give us a glimpse of eternity, that we would see what you have saved us from and have saved us too. Because therein lies the hope that we have. Because this world is not right. Death is not okay. It was not your plan. Relational harm and heartache is not of you. But we're pilgrims passing through. Lord, give us a glimpse of the greatness of your love for us. The hope that you've given us in Christ. You will never leave us nor forsake us in our journey here on earth. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Fill us. Fill us with an awareness of that. That there may be joy in our hearts despite our trials and our heartache. Let us be good news to our neighbors. Not with platitudes, but by action. We give you thanks and you praise and you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.